when there is something to be gained in everything that we do. Isn't that right? I told you that tonight we would start in Proverbs. Many times the question arises, why the book of Proverbs? I myself asked that question many, many, many times. It's a book that I enjoy reading, have read that book so many times. And it's incredible. Every new time I go in, I find something new. Every time, it never fails. So I ask myself, why do we have a book such as the book of Proverbs? And the answer that I came up with was, if I would have today an announcement and say, in 2014, there is going to be a drawing. We're going to take the name of everybody that never miss a Tuesday, Sunday night service and a Wednesday night service. It's going to be only people who never miss a service. I'm giving an example here. And they put all that name in a little basket and then dig the hand in, take it off, and the name that comes up will make $5,000. You know that this place will be filled up, right? You know that, right? Why? Because people have a motivation to come. They are looking for that $5,000. The book of Proverbs is something similar to that. And tonight, I'm going to go through a few things with you. But the major thing that I want you to learn with Proverbs is that Proverbs are lessons for life. Before I start preaching, I want Brother Harry, can you put up there Proverbs chapter 1? Let's start verse 1 and 2. I will go maybe 5 or 6 verses so that you can have an idea. Why do we have a Bible study on the book of Proverbs? The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of King David, king of Israel. Why Proverbs? To know wisdom and instruction. To perceive the words of understanding. You know what? Give me the New Living Translation. These are the Proverbs of Solomon, David's son, king of Israel. The purpose is to teach people wisdom and discipline, to help them understand the insights of the wise. The backslider translation have it even crazier. Watch this. These are the wise sayings of Solomon, David's son, Israel's king, written down so we will know how to live well and right, to understand what life means and where it is going. Isn't that something? This is why you have a book of Proverbs. Now, verse 3 and 4 is even more interesting. Watch this. Verse 3. A manual for living, for learning what is right and just and fair, to teach the inexperienced the ropes and give our young people a grasp on reality. We're still together, right? Now listen to verse 5. That's blowing away. There's something here also for seasoned men and women. So old folks, there's something for you out there too. Huh? This is why we have Proverbs. I think verse 6 is still on that context. Watch this. Still, a thing or two for the experience to learn, fresh wisdom to probe and penetrate, the rhymes and reasons of wise men and women. This is why we've got a book like a book of Proverbs. So, the question is that the reason why you're doing this? Yes. And I have done that on purpose. Because many of us have children. Many of us will have children. Many of us will have grandchildren knocking at the door. And I believe that one of the greatest things we can do for our children, grandchildren, and to us ourselves is to learn and teach them the Word of God. Why do I think that? The words we speak help build our children's conscience, or our grandchildren, and even our own conscience. Their understanding of God, the view of life, and what life is all about. Again, somebody says, here he goes again, knocking on this Bible reading thing. Yes. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6 and 7. Make sure that you and I understand that the Bible is the best thing that you should read ever. I had a friend that had a real apathy for the Word of God. So I'm thinking, how am I going to get this dude to read the Word? So somebody came up with the Bible in cartoons. You know, comics, you call it, right? So I bought the book of John. You still read comics? Yes. Got something good for you. It does not say the gospel according to John. It just say comics. I hand it up to him. A week later when I met him in church, I said, what in the world is this? I said, what are you talking about? That comics you gave me. That is awesome! Little did he know he's getting hooked up. But it was done in an attractive way. The Bible says in here, Deuteronomy 6:6, the following words. Write this commandments that I've given you today. Where? Get them inside of you. And then get them inside of your children. Talk about them wherever you are. Sitting at home or walking in the street. Talk about them from the time you get up in the morning to when you fall into bed at night. Ouch. Ouch. So when can I watch TV? We're going to put the Bible on TV for you to watch. What? It's God's desire for you and I. Clearly, to have God's instructions or God's word as part, as an integral part of our daily life. Not something that you get on Sunday morning or Sunday evening when you come to church. God wants that word to be part of us. You know, many times, especially for us that are raising children and or grandchildren, or those of us who likes to boss around the spouses, it's all too often easy to allow many opportunities to pass that could have been used to embed God's word in our minds. For example, many times, opportunities to teach godly principles of life were being forfeited and replaced by, don't do that. Can I hear an amen? Stop. Quit. Oh, quit whining. Quit fighting. Quit arguing. Be quiet. Be still. Aren't these something that are very common in today's society? What does Proverbs has to do with anything? Well, I realize that these things has become most like a habit among God's people. And we are forfeiting opportunities to teach godly principles to our children and grandchildren and those who boss around their spouses, our spouses. I would suggest to you that instead of using the stop so often, or quit, or don't do, or no, start replacing them with the Word of God. Well, give me an example. When you have that kind of child who would not do their chores right away, who actually don't like to do it. I know that we don't have this in our church, but some church down the street, kids get up and they don't like to do their bed. Can I hear an amen? Some of them finish eating, don't like to take the plate out of the table. And do we have spouses that likes to do that? So instead of getting frustrated with our kids, we could use some proverbs to get our children going, and even their spouse. I'm going to be careful here. Because I had a fellow one time that came to me and said, I have a nagging wife. Hallelujah. Thank you, brother. Somebody raise a hand on the back there. How do I deal with her? In Proverbs, I said, let's go to Proverbs. I'm not even going to call the reference number here. What does it say? It's better to stay. Well, let's stop right here. I gave the guy the proverb, and he went home, and he used it. And the poor guy ended up with a black eye. Now, when we have that kind of child or children or grandchildren that would not do what they're supposed to do, use Proverbs. Which Proverbs? Brother, put up there Proverbs 6, verse 6, and then verse 7 and verse 8. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 6, 7, and 8. So what you doing? I'm teaching you Proverbs. The purpose of Proverbs is to teach us the good stuff, to give us direction in life. Watch this. You lazy fool, look at an ant. Look at an ant. Ouch. But you know what? Give me the NIV here. Gonna call people fool, they may get beat up out there. Go to the ant. Huh? You sluggard. That's another way to say you lazy. Consider its ways and be wise. What are you talking about? Verse 7. It has no commander, no overseer, or ruler. Verse 8. Yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest. So what are you saying? If we, instead of fighting with this child and scream with this child, or even that spouse that don't like to work, if you would keep reciting that scripture, who knows, perhaps, and only perhaps, later, a simple reminder of the ant would suffice as an encouragement. Say amen.
Amen.
What you say? Sometimes fight is not the best way to go. Fight is never the best way to go. The more you fight, the worse it becomes. So instead of fighting, let's start using Proverbs. Okay, go be with the ant and learn from the ant. The ant don't have no boss. Nobody intended the ant to do anything, and yet it does its job during harvest time, so when winter comes, it has food to go through the winter. Some people enjoy becoming nature's inspectors. The problem is that we have too many inspectors out there. Be what? Nature's inspector. What does a nature inspector does? They don't go to work. They get up every day and they look through the window to make sure that the sun is still there, the trees are still around, the wind is still blowing, and they go back to sleep. Those are nature's inspectors. Well, for those who have relatives that are nature's inspectors, you know, go check the ant. Check it out. It has no boss, no commander, no overseer, and yet it will put its food together, stores its provision in the summer, and gather its food on the harvest. Well, I feel like smacking them on their face. It's not going to cause them to go to work. And you think saying this will? According to Hebrews 4:12, I read in Hebrews 4:12 that God's word is powerful. Isn't that right? And more penetrating than a two-edged sword. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. So instead of fighting with the sluggard child, husband, wife, nephew, son, or daughter, grandson or granddaughter, let's speak Proverbs into them. That word is penetrating, is active, is powerful, is living. What about that person that I know several people in Baltimore City that poor wives are frustrated, and some of them have left their husbands because the fellows go find a job and they work for 3 months and then they quit. Or they find a way to get fired. And then they go sit at home while the wife is working her tail off to bring the bread. How do you deal with a man like this, preacher? Said, give them Proverbs. Which Proverbs? Proverbs 22, 29. May get your husband excited about work once again. It may get your children excited about work. Listen to this. Proverbs 22, 29. Do you see a man skilled in his work? He will serve before kings. He will not serve before obscure men. Now let me give you a better translation. Give me the New King James here. Watch this. Do you see a man who excels in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before unknown men. Now here comes a knockout punch. Give me the King James on this one. Watch this. This is the best translation. See thou a man diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean men. Instead of fighting that spouse that wants to be nature's inspector, give them the word of God, that penetrating word that has power to transform people's life. You know what? Brother, give me back Proverbs 10:4. Give me Proverbs 10:4. Watch this. He became, or becometh, poor that deal with, but the hand. Say amen.
Amen.
So what you're saying? You have a spouse, a child, a family member that is lazy. Give them the word of God. The New King James makes it even better. He who has a slack hand becomes poor, but the hands of the diligent makes rich. Now look how crazy it gets. Give me the backslider translation here. Watch this. Sloth makes you poor. Diligence. Say amen.
Amen.
So what is it saying? Be a hard worker. But you know, you can't cause people to be hard worker. This is why I'm giving you Proverbs Proverbs may just be what they need because God's word is powerful, more effective than a two-edged sword. Is that right? Now, listen to Proverbs 13, verse 4. Watch this. Let's read it. Indolence wants it all, and the energetic say amen.
Amen.
What is indolence? Lazy people. Give them the NLT. Watch this. NLT. Lazy people want much. But those who work hard. This is why we have Proverbs. Instead of fighting, we give them the word of God. And this is the key. Why do you say that? Because you don't work as hard as I do. You gotta be kidding me. I check in at work at 4 o'clock and go back to bed at 10. Do you work that much without a day off, often for months and months, sometimes years? Let me show you something else. Can you give them, brother, Proverbs 27:23? Know the state of your flock and put your heart into caring for your herds. I didn't understand. All right, give them the backslide translation. Know your sheep by name. Carefully attend to your flocks. I still don't get it. All right. Give them the New King James. Be diligent to know the state of your flock and attend to your herds. What I mean? Don't be lazy. Don't be a sluggard. You want to prosper in life? Be diligent. Work hard. The same chapter, give him verse 27. You shall have enough goat's milk for your food, for the food of your household, and the nourishment of your maidservant. Who will have that? The one who works hard. The one that is diligent. Now, the New Living Translation makes it even better. And you will have enough goat's milk for yourself, your family, and your servant girls. Isn't that something? The backslider translation makes it crazy, but it's worth reading. There will be plenty of milk and meat. Not on the house of the sluggard. Not on the house of the lazy, but on the house of those who work hard, who are diligent in taking care of their business. So what you're saying? Proverbs like this, folks, will teach us the importance and the benefits of hard working. Have you ever met somebody that is often arguing? You know, some kind of people, there's no way around these people. You start talking something so simple, and they manage to make every conversation argument. Do we know anybody like this? Anybody know somebody like that? So how do you deal with people like this? Go to Proverbs 17:14. Give them Proverbs 17:14. Let's start with the New King James. Oh, it's here. Read it with me. The beginning of a strife is like releasing water. Therefore, stop contention before a quarrel starts. So, y'all that like to be fighting, stop it. There's some cuckoo people out there. Indeed. Indeed. Now, you say, well, it's kind of hard to break this to somebody to understand. You need to explain that a break in a dam may be a small, maybe small, and only allow a trickle of water out. But that trickle wears away bits and pieces of the dam and soon ends with a flood of water escaping. You still with me, right? They're arguing. The little verbal jabs and cuts they have started should be ended before it becomes a full-scale yelling and blows. So what you saying? We can start, we can quit before things get out of control. Listen to the same scripture on the NLT. Watch this. Start a quarrel is like opening a floodgate. So stop before a dispute breaks out. It's much easier to do that than to be, stop it, stop quarreling, stop arguing, stop fighting. Are you with me here? Now, the backslider translation is a little crazy, but worth reading. Watch this. The start of a quarrel is like a leak in a dam. So you stop it before it bursts. This is why we have Proverbs. They are lessons for life. They will teach us to avoid fight. You know, I have met people in church that had a quarrel, a fight with a sibling 20, 30, 40 years ago, and they still haven't got over it. They are sick. They are on medication because that thing is still eaten up within them. So if you teach them the Proverbs, if you're going to start a quarrel, it's like a leak in a dam. So stop it before it bursts and everything gets flooded and everything gets carried away by the water. Here comes another one. Give me Proverbs 23:17. Sometimes people get envy or jealous about what other people have. Which kind of dumb in a way. Listen to this. Do not let your heart envy sinners, but be zealous for the fear of the Lord all the day. Man, I can understand that fellow, he ain't serving God, and he doing better than I am. Do not be envious of the fellow out there that don't fear God. You know why? Because when he fall, his fall will be a sudden fall and will lead into destruction. But as for you and I, we should be zealous for the fear of the Lord. The NLT makes it interesting. Watch this. Don't envy sinners, but always continue to fear the Lord. And there's a price. Or a prize for those who fear God. The backslider translation put it nice too. Watch this. Don't for a minute envy careless rebels. Soak yourself in the fear of God. Isn't that great to have a book of Proverbs? Sometime without even watching. We let ourselves to be carried away by this for this nonsense. Somebody may say, well, I hear what you say, but that perverse is doing really well. And I wish I would do that way too. Give them Proverbs 11:3. Watch this. Proverbs 11:3. The integrity of the upright will guide them. But the perversity of the unfaithful, this is why you should not envy the perverse. That's why we should not envy the bad guy. Why? Because their perversity will destroy them. Now listen to the same verse in the New Living Translation. Watch this. Honesty guides good people. Dishonesty destroys treacherous people. Don't have to envy them. Now the backslider translation has it in a crazy way. Still want you to see. The integrity of the honest keeps them on track. The deviousness of crooks brings them to ruin. This is why we are not envious of people that are crook. Proverbs is here to teach you and I to walk safely, to avoid poverty and shame. Proverbs is here to teach you to gain honor and wisdom. Prove it. Brother Harry, give them Proverbs 3:12. It's a beautiful book. Read it with me. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father the son in whom he delights. That's wisdom. This is why Proverbs is here. The New Living Translation makes it better. Watch this. For the Lord corrects those he loves, just as a father corrects a child in whom he delights. Backslider translation goes even better. It's the child he loves that God corrects. A father's delight is behind all this. Remember that this morning I told you that God is not mad at you? Yes. God is mad about you? Yes. Your problems is not God's punishment. It's a manifestation of love. It's a wake-up call. It gets better. Let's go to Proverbs 13:18. Watch this. This teaches us the benefits of obedience, just like the previous verse. Poverty and shame will come to him who disdains corrections, but he who regards a rebuke will be honored. Isn't that something? So, I know that we don't have any children here that disdains correction. In other words, children that don't like to listen to their parents. I know y'all like to listen to your parents. Huh? I know that nobody here rejects correction, even the grown-up children. Amen? Amen. If you want to be poor for the rest of your life, reject correction. You know, I always say, wherever I go, if your father and your mother are still alive, it means that you still can benefit from their wisdom. On the day that you don't need them anymore, God will take them away. When we disdain correction, it's a sure way to become poor. No, it's not. It's over here. Poverty and shame will come to him who don't pay attention to their parents. Of course, none of you here. It's the church down the street. You know what I mean? Listen to this same scripture in the New Living Translation. If you ignore criticism, you will end in poverty and if you accept correction. Isn't that something? Say with me, I'm craving to be corrected. By God, huh? Glories to God. Let's go to Proverbs 19:20. Another benefit of obeying. Proverbs 19:20. Listen to counsel and receive instruction. Why? It pays off. Proverbs is here to teach you how to avoid poverty, how to be wise. Listen to the same scripture in the New Living Translation. Get all the advice and instruction you can. Why? So you will be wise the rest of your life. You know, I don't know, maybe you already figured that out, but there isn't a person on planet Earth that knows all. Say amen.
Amen.
Therefore, we're going to get all the advice and instruction we can. That's how you become wise. On the New Living, on the Backslider Translation, it's a little crazy, but watch this. Take good counsel and accept correction. That's the way to live wisely and well. Wow. Isn't that something? So what's the big deal here, preacher? I'm giving you the get-go, the kickstart on the books of Proverbs. The reason we start Proverbs is because there are hundreds of counsels in Proverbs to you and I to help us to be wise, to help us to avoid poverty, to help us to have a long life. There's hundreds, if not thousands, of words in Proverbs that can help you and I to achieve a place of honor. Now, I'm going to let you in a little secret here. You will be the first congregation that will ever hear this from me, maybe the last one. Every 3 months, I read the book of Proverbs. I will pick up a month that has 31 days. On the first of the month, I read the Proverbs 1. And then I chew it up throughout the day. On the second of the month, I will read Proverbs 2. And on the third of the month, Proverbs 3. And within a month, you went through the whole book of Proverbs. Then wait again for another month with 31 days, and you go all over again. You will be surprised how much insight you will get. You'll be surprised how much goodies is there. And you know, and it does good to ourselves. It helps us to understand and to perceive things. Sometimes I'm thinking, how did I figure that out? I don't know. And then later, I'm reading Proverbs. Oh, this is where it was. You know, when you read, you may not remember the whole thing, but as you read, as Brother Cecil said to us this afternoon, your brain can hold all the pictures that you're looking around for 300 years. That's a lot of memory. I would say that's a million terabytes. You know, it's a lot. So every time that you and I read Proverbs, it stays there on the back. It's dormant. It's hibernating on the back there. And when situations in life comes, it comes to life and help us to make wise decisions. Amen?
Amen.
Next Sunday night, I'm going to take you through the book of Proverbs and show you what Proverbs says about trusting in God and the benefits of trusting in God. Did you know that trusting in God has several benefits? Did you know that? And there's some good stuff in there. It's already done. It's already here. But I don't want you to forget what you learned tonight. Amen? Next Sunday night, you're going to go through the book of Proverbs again, and we will study the benefits of trusting in God. You mean to tell me like benefits? Yes, benefits like benefits. Like real benefits? Yes, like real benefits. It pays to study Proverbs. Amen?
Amen.
May God help us to hold His word in our hearts.